Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing you news and other features of interest to the English-speaking Jewish community in Spain and abroad. On Monday, June 27th, Moshe Katsav, the President of Israel, began a four-day official visit to Spain. This was at the invitation of the Spanish King in commemoration of the 20th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations between the two countries. After being received at the airport by Spain's foreign minister, Katsav met with King Juan Carlos for lunch at the King's official residence. On Tuesday, he met with the Prime Minister, Foreign Minister, and President of the Spanish Congress, as well as with the leader of the main opposition party. He also was greeted by the Jewish community in a visit to Madrid's main synagogue. In a special ceremony at City Hall, the mayor of Madrid honored Katsav with the title of Illustrious Visitor, and said that Madrid was planning to name a street after assassinated Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. He also spoke about the historical importance of Jewish presence in Madrid and in Spain, and lamented the expulsion in 1492. Both men agreed on their country's desire for peace and stability in the Mediterranean region. During his visit, President Katsav also visited the cities of Toledo and Cordoba, which are of major importance in the history of Jewish Spain. On Tuesday, June 28th, President Katsav gave a news conference, and we thought you'd be interested in hearing some excerpts from it.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. In the past, Israel has criticized Spain and Europe for their position, maybe pro-Arab, in the Middle East crisis. Do you think that view has changed in recent time?
I believe that Europe has very effective influence on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Look, the relation between Israeli and Palestinians never was so difficult, so terrible as it is now since 1967. But on the other hand, the political gap between Palestinian Authority and Israeli government never was so small as it is now. Only the terrorism, the bloodshed, prevent us to make positive progress. I believe that if the Palestinian extremist organization will stop terrorism, the chance of making peace and reconciliation is very high. I believe that Europe should separate between the political aspect of this conflict and the bloodshed and terrorism. What regard to the political aspect, of course, Europe can keep the balance between Israelis and Palestinians. But what regard to terrorism and bloodshed, there is no balance. Europe should stand totally behind Israel in this matter. I believe that the Palestinian people reached a historical achievement after Oslo Agreement. 7 years after Oslo Agreement, between 1993 and 2000, the Palestinian Authority, Palestinian people reached a historical achievement in many fields, international, political, national, economic, social, and so on. And it was not the end of their achievements. But in 2000, they decided to start with this terrible terrorism. And of course, they lost many of their achievements during the last 5 years. I can say to you that the Israeli victims from terrorism between our independence and Oslo Agreement, the numbers were smaller comparing to the period between Oslo Agreement and today. So Europe should not really give any explanation, any understanding, any justification to Palestinian terrorism. And Europe should say to the Palestinian people, we continue to give you economic support, humanitarian assistance, But with regard to terrorism, we are against you. If you will not stop the terrorism, we, Europe, will not continue in our political relation with you. I believe that such a tough message could be very effective to convince the Palestinian extremists to stop the terrorism. I trust Abu Mazen. He's honest. His conception is very right. He announced long time that the Palestinian terrorism is a disaster for Palestinian people. He announced long time that Palestinians should have one authority, one law, one leadership. And I respect him. But he must show determination for stopping the terrorism and the biggest obstacle and biggest disaster for the Palestinian people is the terrorism. I believe that we can bridge the gap between Palestinians and us if they will stop terrorism.
Good afternoon. Alex Bayer from Radio Sefarad. You mentioned terrorism, and this is the main demand that the government of Israel is placing in for negotiations and for agreements with the Palestinian Authority. Do you think Abu Mazen has the capability of stopping and dismantling the terrorist infrastructures?
Yes, of course. First of all, he was elected as the leader of the Palestinian people. He was not appointed by some group or some party. He was elected in democratic process by the Palestinian people to be their own leader. He should now show his leadership. One. Second, the Palestinian authorities, they have 40,000 soldiers. The Hamas are only 4,000. And the time of using double voice, one hand political negotiation, other hand the terrorism, this time is over. We are not ready to tolerate anymore the continuity of bloodshed. We are not ready to tolerate any more bombing the restaurant, coffee shop, discotheques, hotel, bus station. And I believe that Abu Mazen really wants, but it's not enough to say so, it's not enough to announce, he should act, he should do for stopping the terrorism. And I believe that if he will show determination, he can stop it.
Adrian Croft from Reuters. Are you afraid that there will be there could be violence by settlers during the pullout from Gaza?
Will not be civil war. The settlers, they use the legitimate democratic way to demonstrate, to protest. The disengagement plan, the withdrawal of Israeli Defense Forces, the evacuation of Jewish settlement is very difficult issue. It divides the Israeli society. And the settlers try to change the decision of the government, of the parliament, Knesset. But after all, at the end of the day, in spite of all, I believe that the Israeli society, as a democratic country, democratic society, will respect the decision of the Israeli parliament. And by the way, even the Supreme Court in Israel, which is very influential and very powerful, was involved in this process too. So the democratic values say that the settlers, they have the right to protest, to demonstrate, but the decision is in the hand of the parliament.
Pierre Osek from the AFP agency, France Presse. I'd like to know your appreciation of the results of the presidential election in Iran. Do you believe this brings a new threat towards the state of Israel?
I believe that his approach of the new elected president is very negative. He announced why we should ignore from his announcement after he was elected as the president. The threat is not just on Israel. Iran tried to develop long-range missiles. They tried to develop long-range missile of 2,000 kilometers, 3,000 kilometers. is a big threat to Europe too, not just for the Israelis. In Iran, it's the combination of three elements makes the situation very big danger. One is non-democratic country. Second, the cooperation between Iran and international terrorism. And if Iran will achieve nuclear knowledge, nuclear weapon, the combination of these three elements will be disaster for peace and stability in the world. Iran doesn't need nuclear weapon. Iran has no enemy. Iraq does not exist anymore as the enemy of Iran. Iran is a very rich country, but the poverty is terrible in Iran. Why Iran should develop nuclear weapon? With the Israelis, we have no conflict of interest with Iran. We have no common border with Iran. And we don't think that Israel is the enemy of Iran. Iran became the biggest enemy of Israel, and Iran is calling to destroy Israel. One member of the United Nations is calling to destroy other member of the United Nations, and I believe that it's a very bad lesson. The writing is on the wall. I believe if the free world will show determination, I believe that Iran will stop to develop, will stop their efforts for achieving nuclear weapon. And Iran already cheated the free world several times.
Mr. President, 21 Palestinian children between 13 and 17 tried to commit suicide operations in Israel during the last 3 months, even in a ceasefire era moment. Do you think this ceasefire is going to resist, first of all? And second, is Gaza the end of a process or the beginning of a disconnection afterwards in the West Bank?
Unfortunately, at the last time, in spite of the ceasefire and declining of terrorism, the Palestinian terrorist organization tried to use much more, comparing to the past, they tried to use much more children than women. It never was so wide as it is now, at the last few months. I hope that the Palestinian society will express that they are sensitive to the life of the women, children, and will not let the Palestinian terrorist organization to use them for their own purposes. By the way, during the last 5 years, so many suicide bombers come to shed our blood. No one of them was a relative of the Palestinian terrorist organization leaders or terrorists. All of them were innocent, came from the poor people and innocent people. By the way, I want to say to you that since our independence, since 1948, we have known so many wars, terrorism, but the number of victims from the last 5 years are same to the number of the victims from terrorism during 50 years from our independence to the starting of the Intifada. So you can imagine how much the present terrorism is terrible. Regarding to the second question, I am calling to renew the peace negotiation between Israeli Authority and the Palestinian Authority. And during the peace negotiation, we'll decide where will be the border. I don't think that it's right now by the media to say that we have intention to withdraw or not. Yes, it's a political question, but it's not practical. I believe that around the table, by the peace negotiation, then we'll decide if Israel will continue to withdraw, to which line, when, where, how. And it's an elementary part of but dialogue and peace negotiation.
Good afternoon. My name is Cynthia. I'm come from CNN Plus. I would like to ask you two questions. The first one is your perception about the 20 years of relations with Spain. And the second one is that Israel has offered a formal invitation to Casa Real, okay, to come to January to Israel. And if you can confirm that the Spanish prince is coming with his wife the 17th of January to express himself in the Knesset. Thanks.
It should be a great honor and a privilege for us to receive the prince and his wife. I invited them, and we desire to see them in Israel as soon as possible. I should repeat and say that it's not polite by me to say during the invitation when they should come. They will come in the time that is appropriate to the royal house. And your first question was about the two decades of relation. We missed almost 40 years of non-diplomatic relations. And we should intensify the relation between Spain and Israel in the future. The last two decades were very fruitful, very good relation, warm, constructive, between Spain and Israel, the culture field, an economic field. I really believe that at the next 5 years we can double the framework of the economic relation between Spain and Israel. The potential is very deep, very wide. I desire for closer political relation too between the heads of the states, the leaders of the both countries. I believe that should not be any misunderstanding between Spanish authority and Israeli authority, should not be any lack of knowledge between the two authorities. Could be from time to time differences. I really believe that we could enlarge our cooperation in the field of research, development, science, technology. 5% of the Israeli GDP, 5% we invest in research and development. Last year, two Israelis from the Technion Haifa received Nobel Prize of Science, and my expectation to enlarge and deepen the cooperation in the field of science and technology. And I believe that in the field of water, we can enlarge our cooperation too. Any case, I believe that the future we can see very warm relation between Israel and Spain. I also invited the Prime Minister Zapatero for a state visit, official visit to Israel.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is englishcorner@radiosefarad.com. I'll leave you now with music by Sasha Argov, who is considered the father of Israeli pop music. He began composing in the 30s and died in 1995 at the age of 81, after composing 1,200 songs, musicals, and movie soundtracks. This piece is called Ahava Achrona, Final Love, played by Yuri Kane at the piano and Ben Perovsky on the drums. See you next week.